Barbarian Tribes of Rome. The Celts. Celtic Migrations, Part 1. While the Celtic culture can trace its roots back to the end of the 2nd millennium BCE, its impact on European culture became more significant after 500 BCE. It is around this time that the Celts began to expand out of their homeland near the Hallstatt zone throughout the rest of Europe. This period, which lasted some 300 years, is typically referred to as the Celtic Migration, and it is believed to have resulted from overpopulation in the Celtic homeland. However, Celtic culture, which had developed into a stratified and highly unequal society by the middle of the first millennium BCE, also put an emphasis on raids and required a constant supply of luxury resources to maintain itself. During this period, the Celts began to make contact with the cultures of southern Europe, specifically the Romans and, lesser extent, the Greeks. The Celts that left the Hallstatt region for other lands began settling wherever possible, bringing with them their unique culture and language and increasing the scale of Celtic influence in Europe. However, the expansion of the Celtic culture, as is often the case, eventually led to its downfall. Largely because as the Celts made contact with other cultures, they also made enemies, most specifically with the Romans, who by 3rd century BCE were growing ever more powerful and looking to expand their sphere of influence in Europe, Africa, and Asia. Nevertheless, this period of expansion, known as the Celtic Migration, is an important part of Celtic history and is one of the main reasons why the Celts managed to have such a large impact on Europe. Now, let's start with the Hallstatt to the Latin social structures. As mentioned, the predecessor to the Celts was the Hallstatt culture, which developed in the regions surrounding the southern Danube. After the Hallstatts, there was the Latin culture, which formed in the northern part of the Hallstatt zone. These cultures were similar in that they were largely chiefdom societies where the warriors were considered to be an elite class, and the leader of the group, the chief, from this higher segment of society. This type of social structure was held together by what is called a prestige of goods system, which means that the elite class maintained their position by possessing unique and luxurious items that were out of reach to lower members of society. They traded items of lesser value, often food and other staples grown on the land they owned, to the rest of the society in exchange for other goods and services that they needed to live, and so that they could hold on to their powerful positions. The preeminence of this type of social structure is significant for a few reasons. First, it gave these cultures motivation to establish trade routes with other societies in Europe, mainly the Greeks. They sent metals and salt down to the Mediterranean in exchange for wine, olives, gold, and other luxury items. However, it also meant that these cultures were rather unstable, and whenever there was a shortage of luxury goods for the elite class or tradable resources to acquire them, one of the only methods of acquiring them was to raid a nearby settlement. This meant that the early Celtic cultures were frequently fighting amongst one another, something that shouldn't have come as much of a surprise to students of ancient history. This concept of raiding became an integral part of the Celtic culture that would develop over the latter part of the first millennium BCE. Before going into further detail about the Celtic migration, it's important to point out that one other aspect of Celtic culture, which is the diversity that existed within it. More specifically, we must understand that the group of people we refer to today as Celts was made up of many different distinct tribes who shared the same culture and language. However, they all spoke different dialects of Celtic, and there are also different cultural practices, although they were similar. The word Celt comes from the Greek word Keltoi, which meant barbarian, and is a reflection of how the Greeks saw their neighbors to the north, a dangerous nuisance to their peace and prosperity. This means as the Celts moved to other parts of Europe, they developed their own cultural identity. In the modern-day nation of France, for example, there are several Celtic tribes that once lived there. But Caesar and the Romans referred to all of them as Gauls, since they referred to the territory occupied by the Celts as Gaul or Gallia. However, within Gaul, there were many different tribes living there, many of whom were Celtic, but many were not. Elsewhere, the Celts took on different names. In modern-day Turkey, they were known as the Galatians. In modern-day England and Ireland, they're referred to as the Britons and the Gaels, respectively. In modern-day Spain, they were called Celtiberians. The main reason there were so many different names for the Celts is due to the lack of unity amongst the original Celtic people. Many different tribes existed throughout Central Europe that we now identify as Celtic, but at the time, their only connection was language and culture. They had no political affiliation whatsoever. So when one tribe decided it was time to leave their homeland in search of new territory to raid, they would rarely be followed by another. This meant that Europe quickly became populated with many different Celtic tribes who had all their own unique version of Celtic culture and language. For those of us studying the history of the Celts, all this does is make things rather confusing, since it's common to see Celtic tribes referred to by their specific identity, meaning the average student of history might not immediately recognize the connection between many of the different tribes occupying Europe before the Romans began to expand their influence across the continent. Well, now let's look at the expansion in the Central Europe. Although various theories exist about the origins of the Celts, there is little debate that they were to become centralized in the region of the Danube River by the 5th century BCE. However, with the problems of overpopulation and the need to find new lands and cultures to raid, the Celts began expanding to other regions in Europe, spreading their cultural influence and making their mark on this chapter of European history. Generally speaking, the Celts began moving east and west along the Danube River, finding new areas to settle. It is believed that during this period they made it as far west as the Marne region of France, which is just southeast of modern-day Paris. There's also evidence that the Celtic populations in Germany were specifically along the Rhine River in western Germany. During this migration, the Celts also settled in Bohemia and Bavaria, as well as Switzerland. These tribes, which also spoke their own unique versions of Celtic language, eventually became some of the most populous and wealthiest settlements in the entire Celtic world. They developed trade relations with the Romans, which helped them to prosper, and the Gallic tribes, who were living in modern-day France and Switzerland, are thought to have been responsible for disseminating the subdivision of the Celtic language known as Continental Celtic. In the east, the Celts moved across the great Hungarian plain, settling it as they did, and reaching all the way to what is now modern-day nation of Romania. Some archaeological sites that can be connected to the Celts can be found far east as central Romania, specifically the region of Transylvania. However, different from the Celts who would settle in other parts of Europe, such as Italy and Greece, the Celts that spread out along the Danube into France, Germany, the Czech Republic, and Romania maintained a significant level of cultural homogeneity. Trade was frequent and steady within the region, and this made it easier for free exchange of both peoples and ideas. Next, we'll look at their movements to the south. Now, the sources for this, the Germanic people, their origin, expansion, and culture by Owen, the civilization of the steppes by Conrad, and the history of the barbarians, which is a whole series on different groups, and this would, of course, be the Celt version. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.